It's 2:08. You're listening to Ontario Morning on CBC Radio 1. Ontarians are rolling up their sleeves for the COVID vaccine. But despite science and public health authorities pointing to the benefits, some people are still hesitant. Now, a new book provides insight into what drives vaccine hesitancy. Maya Goldenberg is an associate professor in the Department of Philosophy at the University of Guelph, and she's has her new book out called Vaccine Hesitancy. Good morning.
Good morning.
What made you decide to investigate vaccine hesitancy?
Well, I'm a philosopher of medicine, so I investigate all kinds of interesting issues that come up in healthcare, especially around acceptance of evidence and how that motivates action. So vaccine hesitancy kind of fit into my general interest. I started this some years ago, and with my interest being why it is that some parents resist childhood vaccines. This was a hot topic at the time. It still is. It's just getting sort of clouded by current interest in COVID. But that was my interest, and I was trying to make sense of why it was that some parents resist a very strong science consensus and have easy access to vaccines, which is the case, at least in Canada and other industrialized nations.
So as you started to look into the research, investigate, what did you find?
Well, I found out that the dominant ways of thinking about vaccine hesitancy didn't quite measure up. Most of the writing and outreach is framed around this idea that parents don't understand the science, and if they did understand vaccine science, they would surely vaccinate their children because, as I mentioned, the consensus is so strong. But when I actually read the narratives of vaccine hesitant parents and looked at some of the research and science communication, I came to see that wasn't the right way of framing it. It is not the case that parents don't understand the science consensus. I mean, the fact that they don't have, that most parents don't have a strong immersion in vaccine science isn't really the problem. Because even those of us that do vaccinate our kids usually don't have that kind of insight into vaccinology and immunology. What we do have is understanding of the consensus. The question is whether we follow the consensus claims and trust it as right and authoritative. And vaccine hesitant parents understand the consensus. What they don't do is trust the source.
Right.
They've got some kind of mistrust of scientific institutions, and they think there might be some integrity problem there.
Okay, so understanding isn't the issue. Trust is the issue.
Yes.
How is vaccine hesitancy different from anti-vaccine sentiment?
Well, anti-vaccine sentiment, usually people are referring to the very, very strong resistance to vaccines, and that is actually a fairly small group. Most parents that have been polled on their vaccine, there are scales of vaccine confidence, falls somewhere on a weaker point on the scale. So vaccine hesitancy is understood along a spectrum. You can be a little bit ambivalent about vaccines, all the way to extremely resistant to vaccines and unlikely to ever vaccinate. And most people fall somewhere in the middle. There are, by some polls, 25% of Canadian parents with children under 18 fall onto that scale of vaccine hesitancy.
How does racism contribute to vaccine hesitancy?
Well, here's an interesting thing. When I started researching pediatric vaccines, the profile of a vaccine hesitant parent was white and affluent, usually mothers. And it's mothers because they're the ones that usually are making healthcare decisions for the family. And I looked into that because it struck me as a little bit of an unusual finding because in health studies, it's well known that racialized people and communities are less trusting of healthcare, are less likely to interact with healthcare because they anticipate poor experiences. So I wondered what was different about vaccines that made people that are more affluent and more likely to access the system more resistant. And what I found was that the research was really skewed in favor of asking white people what they think about vaccines. And because of that, it created this image that people of color did not have vaccine hesitancy as an issue. They might have access problems, but not hesitancy. So it just hadn't been researched. Now, COVID was framed a little bit differently. In the research that was done even before the vaccines came out, here the researchers, social scientists, or people doing these polls bothered to ask people along a much more diverse political and lived experience spectrum, and they found communities of color more resistant to the COVID vaccine. And the reason for this is poor experiences with healthcare. So people trust vaccines to the extent that they trust the system that delivers the vaccine to them. And racialized Canadians, especially Black and Indigenous Canadians, are less trusting of healthcare. So even though these communities have been more impacted by COVID, they're more resistant to getting the vaccine too. They don't know if it's safe, and they don't know if they're being put into harm's way by accepting a vaccine.
Tell me more about this, how what you've researched around vaccine hesitancy, how, you know, what you make of the vaccine rollout now, and just how much vaccine hesitancy is playing into things.
Well, we know that vaccine hesitancy is impacting the rollout. It still seems relatively minor in Canada right now, only because our demand is still outpacing the supply. But we have seen along the way pockets of resistance, and in some very surprising places. So in the first phase 1 or 1A of the rollout, which was offered to front of the line healthcare workers, we found some healthcare workers refusing the vaccine. They are vaccine hesitant. And of course, this created quite a surprise and a scramble, because there'd been no education or rollout offered to these healthcare workers because of the assumption that, well, they know science, they are healthcare workers, therefore they'll line up for it. So even now, we've got some data showing that in Ontario, roughly 75% of long-term care workers are vaccinated, and the ones that aren't are vaccine hesitant. And that can be for a variety of reasons. And among them is that most of that workforce are immigrant and racialized women who have the kind of fears about and mistrust of healthcare that I just described before. So on the one hand, they've got a lot of motivation to get vaccinated, but they've got the same resistances around it. And we're going to see more vaccine hesitancy as we move through the priority list. As we get to younger people who are less impacted by COVID, they're going to start recalling other reasons not to get vaccinated. We saw among the healthcare workers that there was concerns about, let's say, pregnancy and fertility among women healthcare workers who were of that age. And because we don't have a very good grasp yet about what is the impact on pregnancy or fertility, you're going to see as we get into younger groups, that's going to be a major issue. So that's an informational issue.
Right.
But that kind of informational issue, if we don't address it well, it leaves all kind of room for people to start recalling other concerns, and the resistance starts to build from there.
How do we address it? How do we address vaccine hesitancy at this point in the pandemic? In the vaccine rollout?
The first thing you need to do is listen to what people are concerned about and try to address it. So sometimes people are fearful because there's missing information, like the details about pregnancy and fertility, in which case you have to acknowledge that we don't know. The worst thing to do is tell people, don't worry about it. Right now the advice seems to be, women, go talk to your doctor about it. But the doctors don't have any more information than what's been shared with the public. So we could use a little more information there. There's been very good outreach by all kinds of doctors and scientists, especially doctors and scientists from racialized communities, doing Zoom webinars almost every night to try to do sort of publicly accessible Q&A. And it's culturally sensitive and sometimes in the languages of these communities. And it's an opportunity for people to ask questions, not feel judged, and to get that information from someone they see as trustworthy. Someone from your own community will often be seen as more trustworthy than, you know, the standard face of a public health agency or something like that. A lot of that is happening now, and it's really having an impact.
Maya Goldenberg, I really appreciate your time and insight today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maya Goldenberg is the author of the new book, Vaccine Hesitancy, Public Trust, Expertise, and the War on Science.